This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, broadcasting today from the Knight Studio inside the Newseum, Washington, D.C.'s newest museum devoted to journalism and the news business. When he was Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld labeled Al Jazeera as a promoter of terrorism and a news organization that spreads, quote, vicious lies, unquote. Its reporters were subsequently banned from Iraq. But Al Jazeera has always contended that the news organization is grossly misunderstood by the West in general and the United States in particular, and that their aim is to give a perspective seriously lacking in most Western media. Al Jazeera English started more than a year and a half ago and has faced its own share of controversy. The news channel has struggled to get on the air in the United States. Some of its highest profile journalists have quit, some saying the channel was in some respects anti-American. Tony Berman recently took over as managing director of Al Jazeera English, and he joins us shortly. Later, the Washington Post's Mark Fisher has written a weekly radio column for over a decade. Last week, he signed off for the last time, saying the business and the art of radio are in trouble. He'll join us to talk about that and take your questions. But first, do you watch Al Jazeera English? Why do you avoid it? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now here at the Knight Studio at the Newseum is Tony Berman, former editor-in-chief of the CBC and now managing director of Al Jazeera English. And it's nice to welcome you to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
And as we mentioned, a few journalists have left Al Jazeera English recently, one of whom was Dave Marish, who was on our air a couple of months ago. And he said that he could not handle the interference from headquarters in Doha. Is that your experience, and is that going to change?
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing I should point out is that in an interview a couple of weeks ago to a Baltimore paper, Dave Marish made the point that he regretted the use of the term anti-American, that he really didn't intend to say that in those clear terms, and that if anything, he regards Al Jazeera English still as a kind of a must-see channel in the United States. I think obviously, what happened to Dave and Al Jazeera happened before I came, so I'm kind of reporting what I understand. And there was a disagreement between Al Jazeera and Dave as to his future role. I think there were clearly frustrations that he felt about the way certain stories were being handled. I think I've looked into it very seriously, and I have great respect for Dave Marish. And you know, but I think that the overall suggestion that you know that there's an anti-American problem, which now Dave himself feels is not really the case, isn't something that really is borne out by the evidence if one actually watches the channel.
Yet, one of the things that he said was that Doha, which is, of course, the capital of Qatar, which is the state in which Al Jazeera's headquarters is, that these were people who had a particular animus for the Bush administration. And he said they may have good reason for that, but he says they have from time to time let it affect their journalism. They do not accord Washington the same kind of independence that they give to Al Jazeera's other channels in other parts of the world because of that reason.
Yeah, well, okay, if you read carefully what Dave said, the first thing he said was that he was referring to the British editors, the British producers of Al Jazeera English in Doha. He was not at all referring to, as one perhaps could suspect, the Arab mentality in Doha. I think his feeling was that there was probably an aggressive kind of challenging of the kind of American line. I think that I have difficulty in, you know, commenting in great detail because he referred to certain pieces that, you know, that one could, as a both as a viewer or as a producer, kind of argue about. But I mean, the fact is that Al Jazeera was, you know, has a reputation of challenging authority everywhere. I mean, it's been thrown out at different times by about 12 or 13 Arab countries, eventually let back in when people realize that the influence of Al Jazeera is something that a government really doesn't want to ignore. The fact that it would challenge Arab dictatorships, the fact that it would challenge in journalistically by probing, by running documentaries, and by running debates that would put Western governments on notice. The fact that it would challenge what arguably is the most unpopular American government in modern history is not a surprise, you know. So I think the issue is not whether Al Jazeera fulfilled its mandate by, on behalf of its viewers, challenging people in authority. I think the question is whether there was a kind of a pattern of anti-Americanism, and I agree with Dave Marish's comment in the Baltimore newspaper a couple of weeks ago that there has not been that pattern.
Are the standards of journalism that you would impose as managing director, a title of some importance, any different from those you had at the CBC?
No. Again, you know, one of the great revelations of working for Al Jazeera English is to have to kind of navigate through a lot of misconceptions. In reality, I mean, I worked at the CBC for 35 years. I was the editor-in-chief for 8 years. The code of conduct, the code of ethics that the CBC in Canada has, that the BBC has, is essentially the same code of ethics and code of conduct that Al Jazeera has that applies not only to its English channel, but also to its Arabic channel. And I know, and this was really, in a sense, a precondition for me to kind of consider accepting the role that I've considered, is I have no doubt, because I've now seen it in operation for many weeks, that these various codes are taken seriously by the producers and the reporters. And I really think that, I mean, journalism, broadcasting, news channels, I mean, it's history on the run, that there are things that are put to air, or in the same way that newspapers put stories to air, that perhaps in the fullness of history many years later you wish you had more facts. But I don't think I think the quality of journalism that one sees on Al Jazeera English is extremely high, and is one that really is rigorously adhered to by the journalists who work there.
Let's get a question from here in the newsroom.
My name is Gerald Ehrenstein from Bethesda, Maryland. What is the motive of Al Jazeera for increasing its English language coverage?
Well, I think the motivation was that, I mean, Al Jazeera Arabic was created in 1996. It brought to the Middle East and to the Arab world, including to many countries that are arguably being run by dictatorships, it brought a breath of fresh air in terms of independent and free expression of opinion. It was the feeling of the people who ran Al Jazeera Arabic that there are values within that channel that, you know, that are universal, that relate to the quality and integrity of journalism, and that perhaps if they launched an international channel that would really flip the paradigm of international news on its head, it would actually take stories and issues that were important in the global south and report them to the northern audience. And I think that's what's happening. And I think the Al Jazeera's bureaus, for example, the combined bureaus, there are about almost 70 news bureaus, most of them in the global south in our planet. So I think the idea is really to bring that range and diversity of journalism to a wider audience, particularly to the audience throughout the world that speaks English, in many cases as a second language, but that really wants an international news channel that is not headquartered in London or in New York or in Atlanta. And I think the fact that Al Jazeera English is available and seen in more than 110 million homes worldwide, not as much as it should be, we would argue, in the United States, but worldwide, 110 million homes, I think is an indication that it, as a formula to a lot of people throughout the world, it's a success.
Thanks very much for the question. And one of the reasons I think people would suspect it's having difficulties getting on cable outlets and satellite outlets in this country is that the brand Al Jazeera, people believe or perceive, perhaps mistakenly, as jihadi broadcasting. Given that, why do you call it Al Jazeera? Why not Fred's News?
Well, I think Fred would object. I think the reality is that if you get outside the, in my view, the Donald Rumsfeld, George Bush characterization of Al Jazeera, and I think those who see it in English, or dare I say those who see it in Arabic, I think quickly realize that a lot of these stereotypes are in fact untrue. That the reality is that the Al Jazeera brand, so to speak, is one of the most popular and successful and recognized brands in the world. It's by far the most respected channel in the Middle East. It's in many ways the most influential channel worldwide. It kind of ranks in many areas of the world with the BBC. So it is actually a very strong, credible brand. I think that our challenge here in the United States, and I say this with great affection and respect, is to encourage people to watch it, to connect with us. In reality, the YouTube channel for Al Jazeera English is by far the most popular one on YouTube. The Al Jazeera English website, which is aljazeera.net/English, is I think gets around 6 million hits a day, a week, worldwide. More than 60% come from the United States. So in reality, when Al Jazeera English is exposed to the American audience, many people respond to it very positively. So our view is to try to convince gradually, kind of one step at a time, the various cable distributors that, in fact, if you just allowed this channel to reach the homes of Americans, that they would respond. And we're confident because we're in negotiations with many of them. I think that the rather kind of political period that we, and dare I say the United States, has been in is entering a kind of a transitional stage. So I think that we feel that in the months and years ahead, that the climate here will allow everyone to get beyond the false stereotypes that have been attached to Al Jazeera and to, you know, expose this channel to an audience in the United States of America, you know, 330 million potential people, to a range and diversity of international reporting that I think they would like.
Here's an email from Jesse in Tempe, Arizona. I've been a longtime reader of Al Jazeera News online, mostly because I don't get cable. I'm an anthropology student, and my parents at one point were worried that because I was reading it online, I was going to be put on some government watch list. I kept reading, and I enjoy the different perspective on world news. So does Jesse have anything to worry about?
No, I don't think so. I think that if anything, I think, you know, it's interesting that and a good example was really the last 24 hours, is that American politics, American news, American government officials are regularly on Al Jazeera English, and they get international exposure. I mean, the speeches last night by Obama, Clinton, and McCain were on Al Jazeera. The speeches this morning in front of APEC by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were on Al Jazeera. There is often the reality is that one of the largest Israeli cable distributors bounced CNN to put Al Jazeera English on its air, and a study has been made that in fact the Israeli government gets more unfiltered airtime, so to speak, on Al Jazeera than on any other network outside of Israel.
We're talking with Tony Berman, the managing director of Al Jazeera English. The influential pan-Arab news service hopes to come to a living room near you soon. If you have questions for him, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, broadcasting today from the Knight Studio inside the museum in Washington, D.C. There's no denying the reach of Al Jazeera. The Pan-Arab News Network has internet and specialty TV channels in multiple languages and broad coverage all over the world, but it's reached very few homes in the United States. Now Al Jazeera English wants you, and we're taking calls today with the new managing director there today, Tony Berman, and of course, we'd like to hear from you. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can read what other listeners have to say on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation, and we'll be taking questions from the audience here at the museum as well. But let's get to the phones. And Dawn is calling. Dawn from Athens in Ohio.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Go ahead, please.
Great. My comment is, well, I appreciate that there is now a venue that is really widespread for people to get a different perspective. Now, correct me, though, but these are Western editors and translators that are translating and editing this information. I have for many years now been watching a channel on cable called Link out of San Francisco, where they actually show clips from different countries in the Middle East from their news broadcasts. And my point is that it just shows the perspective.
Thank you.
That when we're watching American news, the regular stations on NBC, CBS, those types of things, you know, it's the terrorists or, you know, the suicide bomber. And then when you listen to their broadcasts, it's the martyr or this. And, you know, they say, you know, you don't just hear a number, 15 killed. You hear the, 10 children and they hit a school and all this. And I just, I'm concerned that with the Western editing and translating, that perhaps It might be the Al Jazeera English may be a little candy coated, and that's all. But I do appreciate the work, and I'll take any of my comments off the air.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. Tony?
Yeah, I mean, just let me, I guess, correct the question. Al Jazeera English is not a translation of Al Jazeera Arabic, point number one. It's a different channel that's intended for a different audience, and it's the choice of stories, formats, et cetera, are both different. Yes, it is put together, produced, edited, reported by essentially Western journalists, many of whom are former BBC, CBC, many from American networks, but it's intended to provide a kind of a range of coverage and that's different, not only different from the BBC and CNN, et cetera, but also different than Al Jazeera Arabic, which is a channel that's focused on the Middle Eastern audience. So in terms of terminology, the Al Jazeera English, you know, the expressions that he used are not the ones that one would see. And there would be, if anything, and I think this is the response we've gotten from American viewers, it would be it's a very familiar format and familiar channel to Americans. It's something very similar to what they're used to. There's not some sort of difficult to understand kind of Middle Eastern kind of veneer to it. But except for one thing is that it's an organization that has nearly 70 news bureaus. I mean, it's got bureaus throughout Latin America, throughout Asia, throughout Africa. So it brings to air in a regular newscast stories out of Chile, stories out of Kenya, stories out of parts of the world that would rarely appear on established conventional news channels unless there was a hurricane or many people dying. And a lot of the issues that matter universally to us all, but of particular concern to this planet's kind of southern hemisphere, like food, like fuel, health, climate change, I mean, are issues that are dealt with by these Western reporters and journalists.
Well, let's play a clip of tape here. This is from an Al Jazeera employee covering an Israeli incursion into Ramallah last year, and we'll just hear a little bit of it.
Well, Al Jazeera's Rania Zabina joins me on the phone live from Ramallah. Rania, we understand the Israelis have now withdrawn. What's the latest now? We've been seeing dramatic pictures of hundreds of Palestinians on the streets.
Yes, actually, the Israeli jeeps have just retreated. The incursion is over, leaving behind at least 3 to 4 Palestinian martyrs. And
again, that word, which has a lot of emotional connotation, a lot of political connotation, martyrs.
Yeah, well, there's no. I think that's actually quite unusual in the sense of that's not a description that I've heard on Al Jazeera, and is one that I think used most of the time is more neutral language. I mean, I think our belief is to allow the viewer, you know, to make the conclusion, you know. But I mean, in the fullness of a 24/7 channel, you know, there are things that get on the air that, you know, that reflect a kind of a diversity of views. But I mean, I think the only thing, if you really did a forensic study of Al Jazeera's coverage of the Middle East or the Israeli-Palestine issue, that what you would see is you would see more effort, and we say this proudly, more effort on the part of Al Jazeera to cover both sides thoroughly. And I think the Israelis, as evidenced by the fact that it has a prominent place in their cable system, I think recognizes that Al Jazeera gives incredible airtime to Israeli spokespeople, but not exclusively, that we do in fact cover Gaza and cover the Palestinian issues in that area that other networks ignore.
Let's get John on the line. John with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
I don't question the integrity of Al Jazeera's journalism or find the channel biased, but I do take issue with the fact that Al Jazeera provides extremists with an international media to communicate with their sympathizers. In that sense, I think I perceive them sometimes as anti-American or anti-tolerance. How does Al Jazeera justify broadcasting extremist propaganda?
Okay, well, let me, with respect, ask what you're talking about. What kind of extremist propaganda?
You know, if there's a message from Al-Qaeda that's, you know, supposedly directly from Osama bin Laden, and there could be laced with code or,
no,
you know, with messages to followers.
I mean, that is, like, let's get real here. That's nonsense. I mean, in reality, Al Jazeera, has, since 9/11, received Right, a multitude of messages from a variety of groups. Most of them are not broadcast on Al Jazeera because they're felt not to be newsworthy in accordance with our code of conduct and code of ethics. Yes, there are times, dare I say, that Osama bin Laden's messages appear, not only on Al Jazeera, but on CNN, on NBC, on ABC, on BBC. The fact that there have been occasions, the number of them have been horribly exaggerated. Yes, there are occasions when some of these groups have reached out to Al Jazeera in their effort to get exposure. In many cases, that exposure does not happen. But in the same way that the Unabomber in the United States fed its messages to the New York Times, not because the New York Times was sympathetic to the Unabomber, but because the Unabomber recognized that the New York Times in this environment was important. Yes, as long as Al Jazeera remains the most influential station by far in the Middle East, that many groups, not only extremist groups, but many groups will reach out to it, which is why there's a very rigorous code of conduct that prevents this material from getting on the air unless there is a valid news reason.
Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Does Al Jazeera English still have a show called Hate America?
I've never heard of that.
Ah, okay. Maybe it's a former program. Don't know. Anyway, let's see if we can get another caller on the line. I understand it used to have a program called that. Here's an email from Graham in San Francisco. What are the reasons given for cable and satellite systems not to carry Al Jazeera English?
Well, I mean, I think there's a multitude of reasons. A lot of it, I guess, their public position would be commercial considerations, would be the fact that, there are a lot of channels competing for space in this fabled 500-channel universe, and many of them, like gambling channels and others, make more revenue than news channels. I think that there is a feeling, and I think we, with respect, disagree with it, that perhaps in some systems there's an abundance of news channels. One channel, for example, that also has not received America-wide distribution on cable systems is a channel called BBC World, which is a bit like walking into a newsstand in Washington or New York and being told that no, we're not actually selling The Economist or The Financial Times because we have other more money-making magazines that we want to sell. I think that as Al Jazeera English becomes better known among cable distributors, which I think is why a lot of our negotiations that are going on now are going quite well, and we hope for a positive conclusion, is that I think that these cable owners are realizing that not only is Al Jazeera English not what Rumsfeld et al. Claim it to be, but it's also an incredibly unique channel that to a wonderfully sophisticated and educated audience such as the 330 million people in the United States would be of interest to many of them.
One of the concerns a lot of people have about Al Jazeera is the extent of the fact that it's funded to some degree by the Emir of Qatar.
Yeah, and the Emir of Qatar is also the person who has allowed into his country the largest U.S. military base in the Gulf. I think anybody who has a kind of a knowledge of the Gulf would never describe Qatar or the Emir as anything but a very close and a long ally of the United States. The fact is, yes, that the vision of Al Jazeera Arabic in 1996 to really break through the kind of the Arab monopoly on information was his idea, and he felt that things should change, and he then went on to say, okay, let's see if there's any value in creating a kind of an international channel that would appeal to the 80% of Muslims, for example, in the world that don't speak Arabic. I think there is a very serious and a very real wall between the Qatari government and Al Jazeera. I know this in terms of my own limited experience there. There's no interference from the Qatari government in the same way that in spite of the fact the CBC in Canada or the BBC in Britain are funded by governments, but they're funded by governments with no strings attached, and that is how things are in Qatar about Al Jazeera.
By the way, if you're hearing rumbling in the background, there's apparently a gigantic thunderstorm underway outside the museum, presumably in the rest of Washington, D.C. There's a camera trained on the front of the building that the audience here in the museum can see that, it looks a little scary, to tell you the truth, and the lights have gone out elsewhere in the museum, but we're apparently still fine, so hang in with us. If we vanish, it's because of electrical difficulties. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Eric's calling us from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My first is an observation. I was first exposed to, I guess, foreign sources of journalism when I was in serving in the American military in Beirut back in the early 80s. And when I would ask what our mission statement or our policy was, what exactly is our mission here? I could never get a straight answer. It was they were always couched in rhetoric of like, well, we're here to support freedom or democracy. And I stumbled upon some English or newspapers, Arab newspapers in English, and I was amazed because they weren't at that age. I didn't think they were biased against Americans, but they had information I didn't get from papers back home, like the coverage of Sabra and Shatila massacres, things like that. I was really surprised, and I was always told that we're there in support of President Hussein and the voice of democracy in the Middle East, which at the time was Iraq, from what I was told. And then as I would read these newspapers, I realized that, wow, it doesn't seem to jive with this rhetoric I'm getting in the military. And after the war in Iraq started, I discovered Al Jazeera online, and I've just been fascinated with it, and I can't believe that it's still met with this kind of animosity or this pro-terrorism kind of agenda that some people think it has. And I'm just wondering, is it naive on my part to ever hope that the American media, which I grew up, I was a fan of American newspapers and media because I thought they had some kind of integrity, but is it naive on my part to hope that American media will ever someday still challenge or confront authority like I think they should? I'm just so disgusted with it that I just don't find anything here to satisfy that need for honest and accurate reporting, I think. And I get it from Al Jazeera, BBC, CBC. I just don't seem to find it. Other than NPR, I don't find it here in mainstream media in America. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Okay, Eric. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be quick on this, and I guess I would be expected to say this, is that I guess I share his anxiety about the direction of American commercial media, which I think for their own commercial imperatives, I think have done a bit of a retreat on the coverage of the world. So I think there is reason to look to, dare I say, channels like Al Jazeera English or channels like the BBC or CNN International, you know, for that kind of news. The one thing I noticed, that a couple of the callers come from Ohio, so let me just say that one of the cable systems in the United States of America, and we love them, called Buckeye Cable, Toledo, Ohio, carries Al Jazeera English.
We're talking today with Tony Berman, the managing director of Al Jazeera English. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller in. And this is Saeed. Saeed with us from Detroit in Michigan.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. My question has to do with whether there is a specter of commercial obstacles for Al Jazeera English coming here, because they are so successful around the world. They are so influential. Is some of the opposition to Al Jazeera English coming from American corporate media sources? I mean, unfortunately, even today, I've heard a couple of jabs at Al Jazeera English. I mean, the fact that the one clip that was presented was a very negative one regarding the story from the Palestinian territories, as well as an inquiry about a show called Hate America. I mean, it seems as though both of these are trying to find Al Jazeera English in the most negative light, and I'm wondering if that is endemic to American media outlets who are worried about the competition. I'll take my question off the air.
Well, Saeed, I thought we were supposed to challenge our guests, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really get into the heads of the owners of cable companies, you know, and start speculating on their motives. I mean, we can only kind of report what they tell us. I mean, I think this is a very competitive media world. Our belief is not that we want to upset it, but just somehow we feel that there would be a lot of Americans who wouldn't mind if in this 500 channel universe space was cleared for one channel that has a unique mission, you know, to cover the world in a way different than others, you know. And as we negotiate with these fine owners, it's far be it for me to imagine what has held them back until now. But we're very confident that the world is becoming much more complicated now than it's ever been. And I think a lot of us realize these so-called international issues, which appear kind of alien in terms from our daily lives are, in fact, whether it's globalization or whatever, have an impact on our daily lives. And I think that's what an international news channel like Al Jazeera English is trying to kind of deal with.
Tony Berman, thanks very much for being with us.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Tony Berman is the new managing director for Al Jazeera English and joined us here in the Knight studio at the Newseum. Coming up, Mark Fisher bids a fond farewell to radio. His last listener column appeared in Sunday's Washington Post, and he'll join us to talk about why he decided to stop writing it. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.